The views expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KTEP. You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today on the first part of the program are Tripper Goodman, Sam Thompson, and Bonnie Escobar, and they're going to talk about, well, as you know, election day is just around the corner, and it's not just the presidential election that we're going to be voting on. A lot of people, of course, are talking about the presidential election, but it's very important that you do go out and vote, and we're going to talk about an issue here. The first part of the issue will be with Mr. Goodman, Mr. Thompson, and Ms. Escobar, and then we'll have another part right after our break. But thank you very much for being with us here today.
Great to be here.
Now, first of all, who wants to start and tell us a little bit about – I didn't talk anything about what was going to be on the ballot. I wanted you all to introduce it and talk about that. So does anybody want to go first or –
Well, why don't I just give a quick overview, and then I know we're going to touch on various points.
Good.
This is a bond, a $473 million bond, propositions 1, 2, and 3, which is the hot tax. We are going to touch on each one of these projects, but this is November the 6th, obviously. Early voting starts October 22nd, on Monday, October 22nd. The projects really are 60% going to neighborhoods. And the city about this time last year, October of 2011 through February of 2012, they went around the community and spoke to various groups, did numerous meetings with lots of people attending these meetings throughout the city to get input as to what that was important for their neighborhoods and for their districts. And this is a compilation of what they've heard and what they've seen. And so all these projects are based on input from the community.
Bonnie, sometimes when people hear about a bond election, it confuses them because a lot of times when they go to the election, and then as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's a presidential election, they think presidential election. And when they go to the voting booth and they see all these other things, they go, I don't know anything about this. And so they'll just kind of pick and choose, whatever. If you don't mind going over the propositions, you know, you and Mr. Thompson, Mr. Goodman, all of you, just tell us a little bit about, is it like quality of life?
Yeah, they're all quality of life issues. And I think Mr. Thompson's going to start and talk a little bit about the Do More proposition number one.
Okay.
Yeah, we are on number one proposition. What it will cover parks, recreation, open spaces, zoo improvement. And that project was a rough estimate of $245 million. Included in the city construction of the new facilities and improvement, the existing facilities included in the park, trails, open space, soccer fields, recreation centers, aquatic centers, senior and community centers, and the El Paso Zoo. That will be in Proposition 1. We'll break down a few of those so the voters will have a chance to see where we're going, and I'll give you a probably rundown on that. The quality of life bond issue is investment in public access throughout the city and the intent to improve the quality of life in El Paso and the cities in the near and distant future. The city government has partnered with the local civilian groups creating the bond issue, meeting the needs and wants for El Paso future voiced by the El Paso and the community meeting and their surveys. That's what Tripp will talk about, the surveys that we went around from each and got all the surveys. If both bond issues pass or elected, there will be a gradual increase in the property taxes that will reach a maximum in 2023 to $39.50 a year, or monthly will be $3.29 per month per 100 if your house is valued at $100,000. That tax value will over the next 15 years. If only one proposition passed, there will be a gradual increase in property tax that will reach a maximum of $14.10 per year per 100,000 in-home taxable value over the next 15 years. If only Proposition 2 passes, there will be a gradual increase in property tax that will reach a maximum of $12.90 a year per $100,000 in tax value the next 15 years. However, the City Council have increased the senior and disability exemption to from $35,000 to $45,000. Removing any burden off a tax increase of a bond issue, it will go into effect on January 1, 2015, when our tax rate hits 0.69% or whichever first. If a home is valued at $100, you subtract $45,000. That is what the city will tax you on. So our tax rate would only apply to $55,000.
Bonnie, you have anything to add to that?
No, I think he got it right. And one is that obviously the tax burden will be less if only one proposition is passed. But at its maximum, if everything is passed, we're going to see close to $40 a year on a home valued. And for me, I have to break that out kind of like on a monthly basis, kind of like I'm doing a budget. And that's $3.29 a month. And so what am I getting for that value? Well, one is Proposition 1 is $248 million, and that's kind of the do more, and it covers all of the outdoor activities. And what citizens are saying is that improve our parks, give us more parks and open space, and let's continue to build on our zoo. And that's what Proposition 1 does. All of the parks will see improvements. Neighborhood associations will have access to funds to improve their own neighborhoods. What the bond does, which I think is really terrific, is that each year, each of the city council district or representatives will have $1 million discretionary funds to spend in their district. And so they're going to listen to their neighborhood associations and their citizens as to how to spend those funds. So that's one thing that's really great. I'm really a proponent of all of it, but I have – my heart is certainly with Proposition 2. You know, I grew up in the arts. I still commit – I'm committed to the arts. And Proposition 2 is the Learn More proposition, and one, it affects libraries. And so we won't see any new libraries out of this bond issue, but all libraries will see improvements. And what we know is that technology is changing every day. And so our libraries have to keep up with that, to keep up with to help students, with seniors, everybody who utilizes the library. So they will see improvements. And in addition to the technology mobile that we already see going around, it'll see improvements as well, and we'll also see a new bookmobile. So what the libraries are doing is, we've seen recently, is providing access to the internet. They're teaching citizens how to use computers. And so now with this techmobile, we'll be able to take it to the neighborhoods. So I think that's fantastic. We're going to see improvements to our museums. So in general, all museums will see upgrades and improvements, which is critical. But also what we'll see is the establishment of a new children's museum. When families are making decisions about going to make to vacations, children's museums are at the top of their list. 60% of families make a decision based on the type of children's museum that's in that community. So El Paso wants to be competitive at that level. One, not only for the benefit of our own children, but for visitors that come to El Paso. So nearly $20 million will be set aside from the $228 million for the establishment of a state-of-the-art children's museum. And they're going to work with entities like Lynx and Insights in the development of that. The location has not been decided, and everything that's going to be part of that museum has not been decided, which I think is really terrific because that means they're continue to get citizen input. We're also going to see the establishment of what's called an interactive digital wall. The only other one that exists is in Denmark, and it'll be 35 feet, 5 feet high. And to me, I'm calling it kind of like Star Trek technology. You'll be able to touch a screen. You want to know more about the 1966 basketball championship. You touch it and it all comes before you. And so we get to see the history of our region before us. And it's a great tool to also attract additional visitors to our community. And then finally, I think in addition to all this museum space, will be the establishment of a true cultural heritage center, one that celebrates our heritage and that also provides us the opportunity to have the hands-on kind of opportunity about all the things that we're learning. So if you want to learn about ballet, folklorico, mariachi, this cultural arts center will be the center where people can go and learn in hands-on about our heritage. So I think that's really exciting. And then finally, it'll be the establishment of a multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment facility. As you know, there are so many tours that pass us by because we don't have some capabilities. So this facility will allow us to take advantage of some of those shows and tours, as well as provide some smaller spaces for the establishment of some intimate theater. So it's not just a huge facility, but it's multifaceted. It'll have the capability of having a small audience or a really large audience.
Mr. Goodman, what about Proposition 3?
Proposition 3 is the infamous hot tax proposition, hotel occupancy tax. This is strictly a funding mechanism vote. There was controversy on the baseball stadium, but in my opinion, we have a baseball team and a baseball stadium. And so now the question on Proposition 3 is, how do you fund it? And to just frame it up very succinctly, the voters will be faced with, if they vote for the hot tax, that means out-of-towners will pay for the baseball stadium. They'll pay up to about 72%. If they vote against it, then we as citizens end up paying for it. So that's really what the hot tax is all about. It goes up to 2%, and I say it goes up to. It may start at 1 or 1.5 and gradually go up to 2%. I know that there's been some opposition on this, but if you really take our room rate, our existing tax is 15.5%. That'll take us, when it hits the ceiling, it'll take us to 17.5. But our room rates are still one of the lowest in the state of Texas, certainly in the five or six largest cities. We average a room rate, you could hear as low as $70. I've heard 100. Let's just say 100. You're looking at basically a $2 a night increase for a room. I don't think that's going to make a difference, even for big groups to come here, particularly if we vote for 1 and 2, because then we'll have so many other things, along with baseball, for them to come for conventions. So the hot tax to me is just as important as any of the other propositions.
Okay, once again, we've been visiting with Tripper Goodman, Sam Thompson, and Bonnie Escobar talking about the bond election that will be held again November 6th. You heard what 1, 2, and 3 are about, and so the important thing is that you do go and vote and get informed, because, again, this is our city. So please do go out and vote. I want to remind you also that the views expressed are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KTEP. Thank you all very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Perspectives will continue right after this. And joining us on the second part of Perspectives this afternoon is Ron McGinnis. Ron is a CFA, is a chartered financial analyst. He graduated from Tulane University with a BS in civil engineering, and Beta Alpha Psi from the University of Texas at Austin with an MBA in finance and accounting. Ron also serves on the Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone No. 5, which oversees property tax support of downtown redevelopment. He is president of Ecopolis, a local real estate development firm. Ron, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us and talk a little bit more about this bond issue that people will have the opportunity to vote on come election day. So I invited you because I wanted a different viewpoint.
Thank you for having me, Louis. I appreciate it. When I first started getting involved in this, I was very much in favor of the plans. I still am in favor of doing good things for El Paso and doing sports facilities and parks and those kinds of things. But as I began to start looking at the details, I became more and more alarmed with each detail I uncovered. And so, like I am, I began to investigate. we have a bond issue that's being advertised as a lot of really nice projects. We've got pools, we've got parks, we've got, if you read the bond ordinance, 81 different items are listed. And the problem with those, as I'm looking at them, is most of them are very, very vague in their description. Some of them we have no clue where they're located. As a matter of fact, one, you got to add the pieces together, is $48 million for something out in Waco Tanks. I mean, that's as much as they've got allocated for the stadium downtown out on the edge of the development zone in East El Paso. Now, I don't have a problem with doing something in East El Paso, but it's a huge amount of money. And furthermore, there are no plans. And that's characteristic of what we see within the details of this bond issue. They say we got pools. They say we got parks. They say we got trails. But we don't have any plans. We have $180 million allocated for what is in Mayor Cook's briefing book, a single page with four words. Arena, event, entertainment, $180 million. Nothing more. We don't even know where it's going to be located. If you look at the list of projects that the review and briefing book that Mayor Cook had, and I have it, it adds up to $200 million. The bond is for nearly a half a billion dollars. The difference, $300 million, is not specifically allocated. It's vaguely alluded to. And if you read the bond ordinance language in Proposition 1 and Proposition 2, it's a paragraph in each of those that says any discretionary funds or any additional funds that are not spent become discretionary use for the city council and for the city government. It amounts to about a $300 million slush fund outside of voter control. And there's another clause in that, just below that, that says the city council has the authority to increase property taxes at their will without voter approval to pay for this debt. Now, we've seen advertisements in the newspaper and other places that says, oh, it's not going to be much of an increase in property taxes. 4 cents for the stadium, 5 cents, the city CFO says. And she presented a presentation to the city council on August 14th that lays out a schedule that raises our property taxes from the current 21 cents per 100 valuation to above 34 cents. Now, that model that she projected has got errors in it. The columns don't add up. So I reverse engineered this model and created a corrected model that agrees with some of the more recent information I'm getting. The proposed bonds plus the street bonds plus all the other debt that the city has will increase our property taxes that's allocated for debt service about 80%. That's enormous, and the impression that we're getting from the advertisements today is just not the case. Trust us, we're not raising your property taxes very much. No big deal. The city of El Paso is worst in the top 10 cities in the state of Texas for amount of debt relative to property tax value, to property valuation. That's like Sacramento. You know how bad the city is in California right now. What we will do with this bond is raise the level to $1.3 billion. That's an enormous increase. When our CFO implies, well, we really won't be raising a bond indebtedness very much because we'll be paying down the debt. In reconstructing of the debt model, I went through and looked at the annual report that the city is forced to publish. And in that, in note 8, there is a schedule to the dollar of how much the debt service is of each year. And it's pretty easy to calculate what that portion of that payment is relative to property taxes. And yet when she submitted the information for the approved 2013 budget, she said it's only going to be 22 cents. But there's an asterisk on it. The asterisk raises to above 25 cents. Now, the problem with that is we have a debt management policy in the city of El Paso that limits that portion of the tax to be 27 cents per 100 valuation. Based on her models, which are understated, we exceed that in 2 years. If we go to 38 or 39 cents, we're beyond exceeding that, and there's no indication of how we're going to deal with that. There is some action, some work, and we've seen it in the past, that the city will change the debt management policy, change some other things. That's not, in my view, an appropriate approach because the debt management policy is there to prevent the city or an aberrant city government from overextending the debt capacity of the city, and it's not appropriate for us to have a greater tax level than where we are right now at the worst of 10 of the biggest cities in the state. And yet the advertising and the publicity we're getting all over town is, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. That is misinformation that makes us not feel good or trust our city government. And in this case, trust requires integrity. And we're not getting valid information from the city. Why would she present 22 cents when her asterisk says it's really 25 cents for the property tax increase for the budget in 2013? Is it intentional? With the asterisk, she's not saying a lie, but she's not disclosing it in the way that would represent reality. We look at the hotel tax, and the statement in the publicity says that the stadium is a done deal. Don't worry about it. We'll pay for it with a hotel tax. Well, if you go into the municipal tax code, there's at least three different sections, or chapters 334, 351, and others. Those state basically that hotel tax is used primarily to support convention business and advertisement and those kinds of things, and is specifically not permitted to be used for stadiums unless you're a very small city or have some parameters that the city of El Paso does not qualify for. But one of the other sections of the code says if for some reason voters approve it, then you can circumvent this portion of the tax law and then use the tax. And so if you vote down Proposition 3, the venue is not permitted under the standard regulations, nor is the use of the hotel tax permitted under the regulations. But an approval of Proposition 3 circumvents the intent of the law and then all of a sudden makes it okay. So if we want to cancel or stop the stadium, we must vote no on Proposition 3. If we trust our city government to give them a $300 million slush fund or discretionary fund or whatever you call it, then vote for those. But based on the history I see of how they're going to abuse our powers or their powers, destroy our assets, not let us vote on things, I'm skeptical that we should trust our city government with this hundreds of millions of dollars of discretionary funds. On March the 6th of 2012, our city council approved or adopted the master plan for city. The master plan has in volume 1, chapter 3, some detailed descriptions of what it views should be done for downtown. It's a beautiful, nationally award-winning plan that has pedestrian flow, integration, inviting spaces, and creates the ambiance that we all in El Paso, in our mindset, would like to have for downtown. And without opposition, the city council adopted this. 3 months, well, what's interesting about this is it shows City Hall in a transition, but where it is now. And it also shows a transition for the convention center and for Abram Chavez and other areas. It also has a note within that that says, we looked at the stadium and we looked at putting it on the City Hall site, and the note says the site's too small. That's in the master plan that was adopted on March the 6th. 3 months later, all of a sudden, the city council decides to throw out the master plan that they've been working on for almost a decade, destroy City Hall. Now Abram Chavez and the symphony has been given a notice of eviction. And what happens is when you tear Abram Chavez down with no plans to replace it or even any immediate plans, the symphony is dissolved. What do we do with that? Some of the other plans, we're going to tear down the convention center, and a vague plan of what we're going to do later. The baseball plan that they've even proposing now envisions using the parking for the convention center. Well, Joyce Wilson presented another plan. It was this secret plan that shows an entirely different relocation of those Tinker Toys or buildings. And it's not part of the master plan. It's not going to be voter approved. It's not disclosed. And we don't know what they're doing with the money.
One of the things, Ron, that
is concerning to both sides, actually, is the fact that the majority of voters, and studies have shown this, first of all, for elections, generally small turnout, and it's usually older voters who go. Presidential elections, of course, have more voters showing up. However, it does not show that, you know, the facts that you gave me just now, gave us, and what we heard earlier today from the other group, is the fact that most people do not go and do research. They don't do their research. They become overwhelmed because they see an 11-page ballot or they see, like you say, all the things listed. And they just want somebody to tell them, oh, just vote yes or just vote no. And what we're talking about is the fact that you have the opportunity to vote yes or no. You're being given the choice. So you should do the research because it's your house. It's your city. It's your park. If you want it, fine. If you don't want it, that's fine too. But people should go out and find out exactly what's going on.
That's an excellent point. I have done the research, but it's been very difficult for me because it's not easy to find. It's not easy to understand
it. And you're a professional.
And I'm good at that. I think this is one of the issues that the city government needs to address. I think we can address it also by greater involvement of our neighborhood associations. And because that's a point that I think can improve the synergies and the activities within our city. But it seems to me a pattern in this particular period with these bonds and with these projects that there's an intent to not disclose, because what they're doing is not, in my view, in some cases legal and certainly not appropriate for our open city government. We need more open city government. We need a more proactive activity and approach by our city government towards our citizens. And we need to make it easier for us to see this. When the CFO presents information that's misleading in her presentations to City Council, it is most difficult to understand that unless you're a professional like I am. And there are a lot of professionals like that, but they can't take the time out of their busy schedule to analyze it and determine whether or not there's numerical errors in what she's saying. It's hard to do. And it's incumbent on our city government and our city leaders to be transparent and actually involve the city in doing the right thing. We need ethics classes. We have a history in this city of not doing ethical things. We've got a whole list of people who have had problems with that. At this point, we don't have plans. We're not being told what we're going to do. They're requesting what I consider to be hundreds of millions of dollars of slush funds without voter approval and without control, and it's improper actions by city government. We need to say no to these bonds and vote no to all three propositions and start this process all over again. I want good things to happen to the city. I want good projects, and I want us to improve the city, but not this way because it's just not right.
Ron, thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us. We've been visiting with Ron McGinnis. Ron is a CFA analyst. He graduated from Tulane University with a BS in civil engineering and Beta Alpha Psi from the University of Texas at Austin with an MBA in finance and accounting. Now, remember, the early voting gets started on October 22nd. The actual voting date is November 6th. There are 11 pages to this ballot, and the last page will be the bond issues. And as Ron mentioned and the earlier group mentioned, you should do the research and find out what you want. I want to remind you that the views expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KTEP. Thank you again very much for being with us here today, Ron.
Thank you, Louis.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.